It looks like it's 2 o'clock, so I'd like to call this meeting to order, please. First of all, I'd like to approve the agenda. Okay, do anyone have any additions to the agenda that's stated? Okay, so they stand. Approval of the minutes. We have the minutes that everyone got emailed. Are there any questions, additions, or corrections to the minute? If I don't hear any corrections or additions, I'd like to entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Minutes are approved. Okay, now the consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda will be enacted by one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a request is made prior to the time the board votes on the motion. And you see the consent agenda below you, so I need a motion to accept them.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion or questions? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. And they are approved. Now, public forum, this is a time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Is there any members of the public who wish to make any statements? Nope, I don't see anybody. Okay, additional items. Oh, election of officers for the 2020 calendar year. Always a fun time. So we have two officers that we usually elect. One is for a chairman and one is for a vice chair when the chair cannot make it. If I'd like to entertain nominations from the board. Anyone who wants to do this? Or
I'll nominate the current officers.
Does anyone else wish to nominate anyone?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so that means it is me, and who's our vice chair again?
Me.
Me, there you go, that's what I thought. Okay, all right. So, any further nominations? Okay, all right, all in favor of the current slate of me, John Passion, as chairman, and Mark Speck as vice chairman. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, we're on it again. Okay, and we'll keep moving on here. Don't worry, it'll slow down soon. Okay, discussion of local public health services contract updates.
Good afternoon, everyone. Heather Bombi with the Iowa Department of Public Health. In front of you, you'll see a little packet that I left and then this folded over sheet on top of that. So in the little packet are the items that I'm going to be discussing this afternoon. The first thing is just a summary of the fiscal year 19 local public health services contract of how your funds were spent in Story County in fiscal year 19. So the total contract was for a little over, well, almost $203,000. And then, excuse me, under there you'll see the activities and the percentage of your funds and how they were spent for those activities. So 10% for collaborative relationships, which is when Teresa and Les and her and their staff attend meetings where they are serving as the face of public health. So that's what those funds are used for. 15% of the funds were spent for disease outbreak investigation, communicable disease follow-up, those types of things. 18% on home care aid homemaker visits. And then 57% of the funds were spent on public health nursing visits. Primarily, those are for health promotion visits for folks that are discharged out of the hospital. And then a nurse from the home care department works with the care coordinator at the hospital to make sure that they have all of their needs met and referrals are made and things like that. So that's how those local public health services contract funds were spent in FY19, and then into FY20, it's The contract increased a little bit for Story County, so it's a little over $204,000. And questions about that contract? All right. And then just a reminder, I think everybody probably received the emails about the Public Health Leadership Academy that started, and they did have that was developed for Board of Health members and Board of Supervisor members. I know Lisa attended, and I think Louisa did as well. They did have a few technological difficulties that first night, I think is probably a nice way to say that. And so hopefully the next session that they have will be a little bit better than the first one. But they do have a lot of good speakers and subject things lined up. So stay tuned for that next one in January. And then just under miscellaneous, down at the bottom, you'll see attached to your packet is the some talking points and the memo. And I don't know, Teresa, if you're going to be talking more about this, but lung illnesses related to vaping are now considered a reportable disease in Iowa. That was effective December 1st and will be until May or through May. So that information and those talking points are there just for your reference as well. I just wanted to say thanks. You guys are very proactive in things, and I know last summer your emergency manager came and spoke with you a little bit about foreign animal disease and African swine fever, and it just was really interesting for me. And so I've been sharing that information with all of my boards of health in my 16 counties, and just appreciate the fact that your emergency manager brought that information to you, and we've been able to share those links. And I know Louisa is going to a training, I think John is as well, next week. Molly, I'm not sure if you are or not, but you're up on all of those things. So it's good just to stay up on that information. Just a little tidbit about the 2020 legislative session. You'll see listed out there in that bullet some of the things that our legislative liaison believes that the department will be answering some questions about from legislators as they move into the new session there. So some of the things she's thinking might be related to maternal health, behind the counter contraceptives, tobacco and vaping, of course, and the medical cannabidiol program updates, and then, of course, children's mental health. If you haven't signed up for Amy McCoy's legislative update that she has, be sure and do that, because then you'll get the information just right to your inbox, and that link is there. And so last meeting, Dr. Passion had mentioned that you would like some presentations from different folks that aren't typically here. And so if there are some things, and I reached out to Stephanie about this as well, but if there are subject matter experts from the department that you would like to have and come and present on things, I can sure help facilitate that and get those folks here. And if you tell us a time frame of what you'd like, they can do a 10 or 15 minute presentation on different subjects.
Well, some of these things you suggested, I think, would be very good. I'd kind of like to hear from someone with the medical cannabidiol program, just how successful that's been. They had a recent article in the Des Moines Register, I think, that talked about it being out for a year. And I'm always fascinated by that. The other thing that has come up when we've talked among some of us is inspections. Like, who inspects food trucks? You know, do they inspect them? I mean, you know, but basic things like that, like who inspects restaurants now, and you know, because those are things that we shouldn't be aware of. Right? Yep. I mean, it always is curious to us. There's a big flourishing of food trucks, and I always kind of wondered how they can pass inspection, you know, without a running water supply.
Right, and you it's complicated in Iowa because the Department of Inspections and Appeals perform inspections in many of the counties, but in some counties we do have There are contracts between DIA and county boards of health to perform those. So that's a great question.
Yeah. I just kind of want to know.
Okay.
Since I do eat at them. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay.
Well, and then the other little handout there, one of the things that I thought you might be interested in, the Bureau of Vital Statistics puts this out every year, and they tell us that one of the things folks are fascinated about are baby names, and so on the front of their brochure, they have what the most popular baby names are each year, so that is there. If the audience is curious, for girls it was Harper, and boys it was Oliver.
Harper Lee. Yeah.
And then inside is just a breakdown of some vital statistics for every county, and you have to have your glasses on, or at least I do, to read those. So
in other words, I need to increase my prescription to read this. Yes.
Or get longer arms.
Yeah, there you go.
Any additional questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so discussion and consideration of fiscal year 2021 Environmental Health Department's proposed budget.
Hello, Margaret, Story County Environmental Health. So this budget, revenue and expenditures are really similar to last year's. Really no changes, just a little budget one way or the other to match 3 years of averaging or based on a few little changes. So really, this is the same as last year, and I'll just entertain questions if you have that. Some of the educational things might be a little different. We might have some staff change up by the time this fiscal year rolls around, the second half of it, so it was a little hard to plan that way. The other thing, revenues are down. We lost a couple of pumpers that we needed to inspect through the year, and then we lost the ability to charge and require well inspections and testing at the time of transfer, so that revenue stream is gone. And one other thing, what was it? Tanning is gone. We're going to have to get that up and running and on the books, pass an ordinance for if the state is not going to have that on the books, then we need to put it on our books so that we can charge for that. Good one. And then the other one is that if we do indeed change the septic permitting process, like our proposed regulations are suggesting, that revenue will go down as well. So a lot of question marks in those. Expenditures are pretty much the same, with one exception, but it doesn't affect our budget. So if you have a large IT item that you want to purchase during that year, if you do it during the planning, budget planning time, it goes on their budget. So I talked to Barb in IT, and her idea was to go with the company's name is ACS to rewrite and look over our software for security, cybersecurity. So and that would cost around $25,000. So that money would not be on our budget; it would be on IT's budget for $25,000. They're going to earmark that.
So is that the same thing you talked about at the last meeting, that program that Matt wrote, that it would be rewritten, that it could be used?
Yes. Yeah, so this option she only came up with today because they were trying it out with the sheriff's department, and they were happy with the outcome. And so she gave me a ballpark figure of around $25,000. It's under contract work. And so instead of hiring somebody to reinvent the wheel, they would take Matt's program and just make sure it's secure and make sure that it follows, that it's not you know, programming spaghetti is what she called it. So
okay.
I think it's a really good option. We still have some discussions to go on that, but and Matt would be a big one on that. At first he said, I don't know, but we'll get him there. So, so any questions on the budget?
I don't have any questions. I guess my only comment would be, because I serve on the board as ex officio, so as a non-voting member, I just want it clear because it is a budget proposal that it doesn't, that I'm not voting for any particular budget yet before
yes,
the board.
Yes, good point,
so,
yeah. Okay. And you are voting to recommend this budget to the board of Supervisors.
That's right.
Yep. That's what I was going to ask next, if you
yes.
need a vote. Okay, so any further questions at all about this budget? Questions at all?
And I will say, once in a while, things come up. I find a glitch or something. I make those fixes, but unless it's a substantial change, I don't let you know if that's okay. A couple dollars here or there or typos.
$25,000 to fix a program. Okay, fine. We'll just let that fly. No, I understand.
Okay.
I'd be okay as long as it's under a small, it's just a small amount.
Minor, yeah.
Yep.
Nothing meaningful.
Okay. Great. Okay. Any further questions? Okay. I need a motion to approve the request for the budget as proposed.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed?
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So now we're on to agency and departmental reports. Story County Public Health.
Hi, I'm Teresa Ferrari with Public Health, Story County Public Health. And as Heather had mentioned, that we've now, I mean, Nick had been talking about vaping being a reportable thing that we would have to follow up on, which just started. So we haven't had any to do yet in Story County, so that's not really affected us yet. But be interesting to see if it does and when. Flu activity is starting to increase. We haven't really seen a lot in Story County either. It's still kind of low in Iowa, but it looks like it's getting more in like Texas and the Carolinas, more down south. And what's interesting is it's more the B virus, which is usually the A, usually is what we see first. But this one tends to be the pediatric death that we had another one this week was B. And
you said B or D?
B. B as in boy. Because it's usually A or B. And usually, at least this is what Sherry was just telling me. I haven't been in public health that long. But she was saying usually it's the A that we see and now we're seeing B. But and then we've had 5 pediatric deaths so far. Not sure exactly where they're at. They're down more down south. They haven't been in Iowa. But and we're, you know, doing school audits, seeing, doing immunization stuff a lot, been busy with that. That's going well. And
can I go back to the flu? I haven't seen anything. How are they, how are the strains that they're seeing matching up with what's in the vaccine?
Fairly good.
Okay.
I think, yeah, it's kind of what they're seeing so far. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's still, like I said, just slowly, steadily increasing. It's still not that bad yet. It's kind of like, kind of where it's normally at, I guess, at this time of year, usually, is what I read in the, because every week we get a flu report, and it just came out yesterday because of the holiday, but otherwise, yeah, I usually get it every Friday. But it's kind of just, yeah, so far it's covering what they had given the shot for. So, and then also in our emergency at 1B coalition, you know, we're going to be joining Polk County next year. I mean, that's kind of in the works, but they're reconstructing that. But we're working as a coalition to do a pod as a coalition and coming up. So we're in the planning of that to actually have a real live one with anthrax. So we're going to be working on that, and that's on the planning stages. So, yeah, that's about... Diseases have been kind of slow as far as, you know, salmonella and all that stuff. That slowed way down. And we've been having some hepatitises, but nothing, no salmonellas or E. coli like we get in the summertime. So,
okay.
Yeah, any questions for me?
Okay. Your flu clinics are going okay.
What's that?
Your flu clinics are going okay.
Yeah, they've slowed it way down on giving flu shots, but we still are encouraging it and come across people, ask them if they've gotten it. We still have it, of course, but we haven't been given as many shots now. But
what impresses me in this year more than other years is it's so much easier for people to get the flu vaccine now outside of the medical community, like in grocery stores and pharmacies and even kids now. They used to never give them to kids. Now they do.
Oh, they do.
Which we're fine with.
So, right. Yeah. Yeah. More people are becoming aware. But it's still only about 45% of the population that get it. You know, there's still a lot of them that don't get it for whatever reason. You know, you'll hear like, well, I never get the flu or stuff like that. Silly reasons. But
I do have one question.
And you mentioned children. For flu shots, I was reading, it's probably not in Iowa, but I'm not sure, that children, parents cannot take their children to a drugstore to get the flu shot. Is that correct? I was reading that. Maybe it was in the state.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, in the past, that's been the case because they've always asked us to give this approval to give any child a shot for them. But now most of them are actually giving them to children. I'm not sure what age they go down to be quite honest. But we have seen pretty young kids get their flu vaccines at Hy-Vee, which we're perfectly fine with. The one thing that I'm always afraid that they'll forget is if a child under 9 gets a flu vaccine for the first year, they need a second one in a month. And I've always kind of been concerned that they don't follow up on that like we do in the office. We give them an appointment when they come in another month for a second flu vaccine right away.
At what age?
Below 9 the first time they get it.
Oh, below 9 the first time.
The first time they ever get it. They need 2.
Is it? Because, we see that too. I mean, if they wait longer than a month, is that okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, that's ideal.
Yeah, right.
But if they go longer.
That's a minimum.
Remember,
all those spaces for vaccines are minimums. There's no maximum.
Right.
Yep. So even the flu. So, so in this state, it seems like they're able to do it. I should check to see how low they'll go. Okay?
Yeah, I don't know either.
Okay. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Is the 45% coverage in Iowa or nationwide?
Nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
45,
35. I saw in one report it was 45.
Oh, 45?
Last year there were 50,000 deaths, and the year before there was like 80-some thousand deaths. So, I mean, that to me is a lot of deaths when you have a shot that... I mean, I don't know the percentage of those people that had the shot, but probably not very many, I would guess, but...
With children, the greatest majority who died did not get vaccinated.
Do they usually have some sort of immunocompromised? Not necessarily. They're just never had the shot.
As far as we can tell, they're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest majority.
Gosh. Awful.
Lose what, 80 to 90 kids a year? I think that's what it is. In a bad year, it's about 120.
That could be prevented. All right.
Okay, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mid-Iowa Community Action.
My name is Sierra Stevens. I'm the WIC coordinator. I just wanted to share some numbers. We ended fiscal year 19 with 1,105 WIC participants, and already in October we've jumped up to 1,132 in Ames. And then in Nevada, we have about 40 participants, and that stays pretty steady throughout the year, so that doesn't change too much. We tend to see a drop in Ames during the summer because a lot of the university students leave for the summer, come back in the fall. One thing we've noticed a lot this year, more so than other years, is with international students voluntarily terminating their WIC benefits because of their immigration status. And WIC is not under the public charge information. It doesn't hurt anybody's participation, so I just always want to remind people that no matter what your immigration status is, WIC will allow you to receive benefits no matter what. So we've seen that a lot. We've had several people walk in and ask to no longer receive benefits and get a letter stating that they don't receive benefits because they're worried about their immigration status. But otherwise, that's all I have.
I'm Megan Thompson. I'm the first five coordinator at MICA. So just some of our recent numbers. First five covers five counties in central Iowa through MICA. And this year we've had over 300 referrals and 130 have been from Story County. So we're really impressed with that. We have really good partnership. We have 11 participating clinics and have good participation from each clinic. Kind of another thing we have going on under the first five umbrella is we've been able to secure a couple mini grants through different agencies. So we have a safe sleep and a safe seat project going on right now for Story County families. And those programs both are working to kind of increase healthy behaviors among new parents. So we can provide new car seats and new pack and plays or cribs for families that would otherwise not be able to have a safe sleep environment or maybe a car seat that's been passed down from a friend or coworker or family member that's not safe. So those programs are both going really well. We have a lot of families in need, so we're able to get them what they need.
Very good. Can I ask a question about your dental clinic?
Yes.
With currently Iowa Cares program, the reimbursement for dentists have gone down even more. And so what have you seen an increase in the need for your dental clinic? Or I just talked to a parent who said that the waiting list is 9 months now.
I know as of yesterday, it's not 9 months. We got a family in yesterday on a cancellation in next week, but otherwise they were scheduling into March. So we do have a waiting list. It is busy, but it's not 9 months. I don't know
okay.
if you can.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And YSS.
Okay, Denise Denton at YSS. And you have already received sort of the update of what YSS services were through October. We're working on November, so we're always sort of a month behind on that. But to give you an idea, we're finishing up with Project Alert at the middle school and seeing a lot of kids across the county. We also participated, we're members of the Nevada Task Force, Substance Abuse Task Force, and we held a town hall meeting on November 5th in Nevada. And the purpose of that was to gather information from the community to see what kind of information they had. We were working on the community prevention matrix, which is a matrix that looks at all services available. And the task force has worked on that, but we wanted community members to come in and also talk about the services they are familiar with that we maybe are not, so we can start filling in those blanks and looking at what services are available, and also look at what we need to do yet. So the matrix is really just a great big roadmap for where your services are and who is getting them. So received some valuable information, I think, from that. I wasn't able to go to the last meeting, so I can't give you the update on all the data that was gathered, but will next time. Otherwise, I just want to give you several updates on various drugs, all my favorite drugs, a few of my favorite things. And the first thing on top is two letters, one that went already to all the legislators from the Health Promotion Club at Iowa State talking about vaping and asking them again. I think you got a copy in your packet, but you also have your very own paper copy there. And that was sent out. I think we have gotten a couple responses. So that was just essentially saying, you know, we've written to you in the past and we're back again. We'd really like to see you follow through with us, some kind of law that speaks to vaping in public spaces. The flip side is the letter that was approved at Prevention Policy Board yesterday. It also speaks to the vaping illness and the deaths that have occurred, but it needs to be updated because there are even more since we initially drafted that letter. And I couldn't tell you what it is exactly, but it's 1,280 was the last number I saw of illnesses and 47 deaths, I think. But I'm gonna, before we send that, we'll make sure we have the number correct on that. And then I received a call from members of Healthiest Aims the other day saying that they also want to follow up on this and send another letter to the legislators
asking them to do that. There is, of course, many things that you could do to address the vaping issue, but the one thing that we can do that would not be real tough is to make it a vaping ban in public spaces. So we're just asking for them to start there. And I think since the emergence of this vaping illness and the deaths that go with it, that makes a stronger case. You also have in your packet an article about the American Medical Association and how they have come out requesting a total ban on all vaping everywhere unless it has been FDA approved for cessation. And of course, it's never been submitted. None of them have ever been submitted to the FDA for cessation products as a cessation product because they really aren't all that great or have not been found to be. And certainly there are anecdotal situations where they have been useful for some people, but in the long run, what you find is people tend to become dual users. And of course, with young people, we find that they go on to become conventional smokers if they use it at all. There was an article in the Ames paper not too long ago about vaping at Ames High, and I just spoke with a resource officer yesterday about that. The kids get a warning the first time they're caught, and then there is a fine after that. So they are enforcing that when they know it, but he thinks that they're just probably hitting the tip of the iceberg on that. Anyway, so it looks like maybe the ban that we have in Story County doesn't work, and yet you have another article that speaks to the fact that policies can make a difference. You know, you never have total control over what people do with substances, but you have influence. And I guess this is just a reminder, or I'm reminded that you know, use your powers for good. And you guys have certainly done that in the past by supporting the vaping ban. Going forward, I just sort of want to remind you of that you do have influence, and it does make a difference in the long run. In class this morning, we were talking about advertising and marketing, and I talked to the students about the diffusion of innovation research, which essentially says that anything that you try and bring forward in terms of public health takes about 7 years to get done before you see a critical mass, before you see real numbers in terms of behavior move. So it's never easy, and it's never simple, and it's not for the faint of heart or the impatient. But you can get it done with policies that guide people in that direction and help them make healthier decisions. So along those lines, you have another article that speaks to an increase in the number of calls to poison control centers regarding natural psychoactive drugs. So this is sort of a cautionary tale in the other direction in those states that have loosened their laws concerning some of the psychoactive substances like marijuana, and they were speaking to natural. So you're talking about kratom and psilocybin mushrooms and marijuana and even nutmeg, which can be a fairly powerful hallucinogen. If, you know, you're making cookies and it says 1/4 teaspoon, just stick with that because it can be very effective. But they've seen a huge increase in the number of calls to poison control centers. I think they looked at 67,000 calls and evaluated those over a 7-year period. But there were deaths concerning involved with marijuana among children. So a word to the wise on that, sort of a cautionary tale.
So my nutmeg that I brought in from the Caribbean, it could have been confiscated. I'm just kidding.
If you were using it in not a healthy way.
Sure.
You inhale it.
I've got some. I brought some back.
I have an article, and I have not a lot of articles about it, but I do have an article about a young woman who was inhaling nutmeg and hallucinated for 4 days, which would be a bad way to spend 4 days, I think. So a teenager. Do not go near the shiny apple. That's the moral to that story. Anyway, so another article that I gave you that I thought was interesting is the increase in cocaine and how I didn't see that sneaking up on us, but particularly among the African-American population. And that, in fact, they don't use it more, but they seem to die from it more. And the article does speak to the fact that, of course, when given the opportunity, mixing drugs is never your best plan. And a lot of those deaths have happened because it's been a combination what they call a speedball, which is a combination between cocaine and an opiate. And in the old days, people like John Belushi died of a speedball because of heroin and cocaine. But this speedball tends to involve fentanyl more often, and almost never nobody lives from that. So there's been an increase in that kind of usage, and as a result, more deaths seen from that. So that's another cautionary tale. So speaking of opioids, the other there's good news and there's bad news. Iowa Department of Public Health released a warning last year about counterfeit opioid pills that were being found. They are still seeing some of those. So that people think they're getting OxyContin and they're really getting something else. So those are still out there. They're also seeing more heroin that is being sold as heroin. People think they're just getting garden variety heroin when, in fact, of course, they're getting fentanyl and other things. And that can be a little dicey. Having said that, it is my understanding that we have that law enforcement has not done any deployment of Narcan recently. So, again, the opioid task force hasn't met for the last 2 months, so I don't have the update on that. But I was with the school resource officer yesterday who said, I've not heard anything. Now, that's not necessarily his wheelhouse. You don't deploy a lot of Narcan at the high school, but not that he was aware of.
And Narcan is over-the-counter now.
It is, but now you have to get it through a pharmacy. We were just giving it out as party favors. But every place we talked, right. And now you cannot do that.
But you can go to a pharmacy and pick it up.
Yes.
And it's not expensive.
No. It's less than it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyone can use it. And if you use it and it wasn't an opioid overdose, it doesn't do anything. So it doesn't hurt anything to take Narcan if that was sort of a misdiagnosis. You can't. So that is good news. There was one more thing about that. Oh, and in fact, Tom Miller is looking to put together a little package where Iowa might be able to get roughly $48 billion from the opioid manufacturers and distributors as part of that settlement. So that would be a very good thing. Once upon a time, counties had to sort of sign off if they wanted in on that, and Story County did not, was my understanding, but I think this would be an overall state settlement, so I could be wrong on that, but I don't think so.
We didn't want in on this?
I think we voted not to follow through with the suit.
At the state level. Really?
I think so. I was in this room with, I thought, the Board of Supervisors once upon a time. I'm happy to be wrong. I'm always happy
just
to
curious.
Be wrong.
Okay.
But the Attorney General is going forward with that. Okay. And that money would come from like Johnson & Johnson and some of the other manufacturers and distributors who are paying a lot of money out right now to a lot of different states. Last but not least, having said all that about opioids, evidently meth is still the thing that is causing the most grief in Story County. We see a lot more meth than we do heroin. So that's either good news or bad news, depending on how you want to look at that. But it still rears its ugly head. And alcohol is still the drug of choice among college students. So, there's enough to go around for everybody.
That was a question. Yeah.
What's that? I'm sorry.
So, Tom Miller's settlement would include that $22 billion for the state of Iowa.
$48 billion, I believe, is what he's asking for. There's $48 billion.
The state of Iowa cities and counties
supports
would
a frame
a share of $22 billion. Do you know how much that is?
No, I don't know how much.
At $48 billion, that's nationwide.
That is nationwide.
Yeah.
It is
nationwide.
And that includes so. Treatment of
yes.
I got a question for you. So you hear advertised hemp, CBD from the hemp plant, right?
The cannabis and the hemp plant are the same thing. Cannabis is the Latin name for it.
So they say they can legally sell that, the that comes from the CBD from hemp. Is that true? You hear it advertised all the time. On the, I think it's the radio. I hear it.
If As I understand it, there's a new legislation that hemp can be grown.
For industrial purposes.
Right, for industrial purposes, because but not, you know, to, it's not to grind it down and purify it for CBD oil. And hemp supposedly just has, what, 0.3% THC in it or something like that?
Yeah, so the hemp,
really,
yeah, it's
want
hemp.
To try and get high on
right, right.
So it's the hemp they can use and get the oil out of that. That's legal.
No, no, I don't think so. I think, and tell me if I'm wrong. You probably know this.
I think it's the hemp is for the industrial that you can make the rope out of. Right.
But you do see things that say hemp oil in it. And I have people who say, oh, yeah, it's just hemp oil. It'd be really interesting to know what's really in it.
That's kind of part of the problem.
Everything is kind of on it now.
That's right.
There was a very interesting... on the news the other night talking about hemp dial industry and how one of the manufacturers said they're going to have to go out of business unless they increase all of the different maladies for which it can be used. Now with Illinois being recreational cannabis, which recreational whatever, they're afraid they'll go out of business because people will go to Illinois for their medicine. But I think people won't be going to Illinois for medicine per se. I don't think that's why. So that will come up in the legislature that you can possibly put them out of business because they've invested all this money already. And we sort of saw that coming.
It's very interesting when people talk about hemp, they talk about back in World War II that they said it was people's patriotic duty as farmers to grow hemp for the war effort.
Yeah.
Well, that was back in the time there were a lot of ships and there's
they needed ropes.
And see, they needed ropes and stuff. But
they released something like 44,000 tons of hemp seed for farmers to grow from like Wisconsin to Kentucky during that time, every year of war. Because they needed it for the world, because all the really good companies being grown in Malaysia, and that was the first place that the Japanese invaded, so we were out of luck. So you had to start growing it.
Well, you still find in the ditches around.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But, you know, it's very interesting, though.
Interesting.
When we moved here, when we moved to Iowa, 1974, we ran into ditchweed, which was marijuana, and from the back in those days when they were growing hemp, all the time. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm clearing fields at my family's house. I don't run into it anymore. And it's not like I purposely looked for it and pulled it out. We just... didn't do anything with it.
They spray it.
Maybe they sprayed.
I
don't know. Maybe. Okay.
Roundup.
Yeah, maybe Roundup killed it all. I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah. It's still in the dog park?
Yeah, it's all over the ditches around here.
Really? Oh, see, I don't see it. Right. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. No, it's interesting.
It was required to be grown.
Right. For the war effort. Yeah. All this stuff is a very interesting history and stuff. So, yep. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Okay. So, Story County Environmental Health Report. And Margaret James is back up again. And before I forget, real quick, Heather, if you're going to help us get some talks done, which we'd really appreciate, I think we'd probably want it to shoot for about 10 minutes. Real brief overview. Okay? All right. Thank you. Medicaid. Okay.
I don't know about.
Interesting. Thank you. It's younger than it used to be, though.
Yeah. She said age 7.
Right. Oh, I didn't check. and see what they'll do.
I wonder if it's similar insurance. To what private insurance would do.
Maybe lower.
Or about if you just pay for it.
They probably have certain criteria. I mean, if pharmacy, if they say we're only do 7 or under, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't. I mean, I don't know.
But if you just pay for it, give them $20.
Yeah.
But then that's.
Okay. I'll ask.
Barbara Jane, Environmental Health Department. December 3rd, 2015. So the well activity for the past couple of months, for the whole year up to today, 6 well pluggings, 3 well rehabs, 57 water samples. Grants to counties, we received a grant for $31,000, however, we haven't received any of that money yet because they are having software issues. Well issues permitted, well permits issued, 7 water supply, 8 geothermal, and 1 pump. For septics, we are at 96 infections and 81 permits. So we're creeping up on the average here for septic permits for the year. This picture is interesting. Like a jello mold, that was the infiltrator that was over half of this. Normally it's supposed to be empty, but it filled up with soil. And so I talked to the individual about why that was, the company rep, and he said back in the day those louvers were a lot further apart. So Mark, we might be looking at a lot of failing systems based on that. The technology wasn't there. Now they're a lot wider, flatter. To me, this is a hazard for people, the tenants, and then people walking around. It's a little better than that. It's really windy day, but it was just flying back and forth. That has not been there. And I talked to the owner today, and he's not excited about working. So we'll see how that goes. For this, I issued a notice of violation. And then for this, I also issued a notice of violation. Sewage was backing up into this individual's apartment. The man that owns this apartment complex also owns this apartment complex.
Now it is. Sorry. Okay. Trailer removal, Country Living Mobile Home Park. That is just north. Here's Hickory Grove Lake. So it is this little guy right here is the trailer park. And it burned in February of this year. That's too long to leave that just sitting there. It's crazy bad. I talked to him today. He's in Portugal, the owner. He seems to be willing to contact his attorney and get the ball rolling for legally abandoning the trailer and moving it off. And he probably won't get stuck with the asbestos requirements from EPA because it'll be, you can do one in, per calendar year without having to do all the testing. So hopefully this will go a little easier than Crestview trailer removals. And then this is the one I called into DNR regarding, so there's a large hog confinement attached to this, and then this, and then just a little bit to the east on the same property they have cattle. And it was not the hog confinement, but it was the cattle runoff that was going into the creek, and that's the West Indian Creek watershed. So DNR went out there and talked to them, and what they ended up doing is putting a bunch of bales all along the fence and effectively stopping it, and didn't cost much at all, you know. So that was a really easy thing to do for them. Conceptual reviews, Mark, I'll get these maps for you later. Forest Ridge subdivision, 2M estates, that's only an ag subdivision, so that's a split. And then the Craig variance, we reviewed for planning and development under conceptual review, and that is some building variance, Mark. So it's not a big deal for the Craig one. The Forest one, I cannot remember that one. We reviewed it, but. So did you have specific questions, Mark, or
no?
Okay. All right. Trainings and meetings, we all attended the training safety, and then let's see. I went to a couple water assessment meetings. Molly and John and I attended a meeting for the ASF preparation, and then I participated in Discover Your Creek, just getting the word out for water quality. Miscellaneous stuff. So Story County provided flu shots for all of its employees, and we really appreciate that. It's great. We've had a couple contentious installations, and two different sets are lawyering up, and a lot of phone calls and time are going in on that. Ames Golf and Country Club, Matt has been going through the numbers on that to see if their system is big enough. We think that they did not represent the water use properly initially. We might have to upsize the country club. And then the inspection for fire code infractions, I talked about that. And then DOT went ahead and plugged a well up over at that flyover. They plugged a well. They just hired a contractor. They needed a well contractor, so they're in some hot water for that. I'm letting DNR handle that because they're sister agencies. And thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Any questions?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Another question.
Sure.
One of my children owns a yoga studio, owns and operates a yoga studio, and I was discussing what you discuss here about health inspections, etc. And she said she is really surprised that yoga studios are not being inspected.
Oh.
And she really would like to see that they will be, should be inspected.
Okay. Well, inspections and appeals, the state agency would be the better folks to ask. So kind of more on the line like tattoo parlors and tanning beds, that kind of thing, just for cleanliness? Is that what you're getting at, or?
Well, some of the studios, they operate under hot yoga, and some are way too hot that people actually pass out.
Oh,
others, I never thought of that. They do all sorts of things, and she feels that they really should be inspected.
Okay. Heather, do you have anything to say about that?
I don't, but I think that's a great question. And animals come into play, too, because they have good eating habits. And they have to
They get goats.
Apparently.
That's a great question. I've never heard that before. But
she has a real concern with that because she owns and operates her own and is very careful about health effects, especially of the hot yoga part. But she has attended some in Ames, and it was so awfully hot that she thought, how is this possible? How can this go on? So, she feels that they should be inspected. They should have general regulations or rules on how to operate, especially the hot yoga ones.
Yeah. Huh, good point. Yeah.
Margaret, I have a question on the burnt out mobile home you said was over by Colo area and stuff. Mm-hmm. So is there a particular time frame is when you hope to have that removed?
Well, so I talked to him today finally, and it's trailer parks are difficult because who owns a trailer, who's responsible for it. So right now it's in Ms. Love's name, and so they're kind of, but she took off. She's still paying taxes on it, but it's still sitting on lot 7 there. And so he said, well, so the owner said, okay, we're just going to have to go file for abandoning that trailer and get rid of it and not count on her to do that. So he said that process should take about 30 days. So probably January.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not fast.
No, I understand that. I just wasn't sure.
Yeah. Fortunately, they do have everything scooped in and contained, but it's awful. And you can still smell it when you go by. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who takes over when a city annex something in? Are we off the hook, or is the city off the hook?
We're not off the hook. We cover the entire county. We're not off the hook.
Well, you know, where we live now in Timberland out there off of Oakwood, that whole area was annexed in the Ames of maybe 20 years, 25 years ago.
Okay.
And they're now burying all the electrical lines.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 2 or 3 weeks, and they bored through my neighbor's sewage line. And
did they not hook up to city?
Yeah, they're hooked up to the city, but they...
Oh, so the line to the city, not the line to the...
In investigating this to redo their sewer line from the house mm-hmm. to the city line, they found that this is the third purchase on this house in the interim. That they had never filled a septic tank. The sewer line was only 2 feet below ground, mm-hmm. et cetera. And I wondered, you know, who's responsible for
filling that tank or enforcing
filling
that?
The tank, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a state and county requirement now. Back then, it was not a requirement. I don't, and then it wouldn't be inspected because they're hooked to city sewer. So. You know, all the way back to when they hooked up to city sewer, they should have done it then. And if they didn't, it would not be inspected after that.
Technically, the city plumbing inspector should have made sure that was done.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And if the sewer line was only 2 foot deep, then that should have been insulated and stuff so it doesn't freeze.
Yeah, apparently it wasn't. I don't know. They're trying to get it deeper now and blue boarding it. I don't know how many houses out there are the same way.
Because we went through an exercise a long time ago where we mailed out the diagrams of everybody's septic system to those ones that would move over to the city, the big pipe. And we did that also then with Lincoln Way that's just recently been annexed, sent letters to everybody.
I know they had a lot of trouble out there. You know, with the septic systems,
yeah.
That's why they have wanted to be annexed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I have another question.
Sure.
Talking about property and problems. Where we live in Ames, it's the Bel Air subdivision. And apparently, maybe Mark knows, it was a swamp at one
yeah,
time.
Yeah, that was a swamp. I remember.
I was a swamp.
Now we are suffering, especially our home. The home where we are because we're below our neighbors.
Uh-huh.
And our basement is now being completely gutted and redone. But anyway, that's another story. But the problem is the runoff. Whenever there's a flood, it comes up the side of the street on 16th Street, halfway to our house. Mm-hmm. And the neighbors on the other side, it goes halfway up their driveway.
Mm.
Both, in know, us and the neighbors, their basements flood. I mean, there's nothing, the tile is not enough to have the runoff take care of it. The sump pump can't keep up. So what Is this a city problem?
It is a city.
I have contacted the city before.
I would go before the council. I would go before the council and complain and go and go and go and get your neighbors to go.
It's a major problem, especially now that we have more rains.
Yeah.
More big rains. It's constantly a major problem. And ours is the lowest one in the area. Everybody is higher up.
That's a problem. Mark, do you have anything to say about it?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Storm sewers just are probably undersized through there.
Well, you know, I've talked to the, when the city was out there repairing a storm sewer, I said, well, how can it be that the water backs up into our basement? We
well, your sump pump.
We're supposed to have a valve.
Your sump pump, did
maybe,
it? Did it not work? Is that what happened?
The sump pump, you know, we have, we just installed a new one. And it blows up.
But it didn't. Did the water come up through the sewer? Did it come up through the floor drains and stuff?
Yeah, it runs year round.
Right, but the water, how did that water get into the basement? From the sewer? Did it back up through the sewer pipes?
It comes from, not the sewer, it's from the storm drain.
Right.
But
yeah, you, if you have a pump in there, a pump will keep up with that normally.
Can't keep up. So I talked to the, one of the plumbers, one of your colleagues, I guess. So what if we, a second.
Put a second one in.
He said it won't help, not during a major major rain. So I asked, can we contact this, the city to take, you know, to remedy that whole problem of water runoff? So anyway, that's why I asked.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah. It depends where that
water. Definitely a city.
But the water's not coming in from the top, through the windows or anything, is it?
It comes in from the windows. It comes in through the storm drains.
Well, yeah. Well, that's a different story if it's coming in through your window.
Also, both places from
so,
the
sounds
drains
like you've got a consult.
Up the tile comes up from the tile and it goes through the windows, the basement windows.
Yeah, that's bad when it comes through the window.
Yeah, not a bad.
That's is that an official opinion, Mark?
You better put three pumps in.
I think you've got a consult.
I wouldn't go well.
All right. Anything else for Margaret?
I have a question. I have one for Margaret. Speaking of trailer courts, so the one north of Animal Z's Lab, what's going on there? They have too many trailers in that park, or what's...
North. You mean east?
Are you referring to North Crest?
Hickory Grove.
Hickory Grove.
Oh, over
Hickory
there.
Hickory Grove.
That's a planning and development thing. They won the case,
yeah.
And so they have to, through attrition, the trailers have to...
So is their septic system not large enough to handle the extra trailer? Is that the real
reason? That's not the issue, huh?
It was zoning.
Just
zoning.
A zoning thing.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with that
so
sand filter
there.
Because
they redid that system, right?
They did. It's a sand filter, and it's working okay.
This is the second time. Because they put it in
Waterloo
filter.
Yeah. Yeah, but the septic is not undersized or anything.
Oh,
that's
I thought
not
maybe
the
that number of trailers, the septic system couldn't handle that extra number of trailers.
No.
It's just a zoning issue of number of trailers.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Have we hit a different subject? Have we had any E. coli outbreaks from the lettuce problem in Ames?
No.
I went to it.
Was there last season? Yeah, recently. When was that? Was it the last month? It was another outbreak.
Yeah, in romaine lettuce. I went to an Ames restaurant last week, and they would not serve any salads because they said they had all of their lettuce.
That's good.
Chain restaurant.
Romaine lettuce.
That's what it was.
I just stay away from romaine lettuce. That seems to be the one that seems to always seem to
get
the recall.
Come from Mexico.
For the lettuce.
I still wash my vegetables.
You should wash your lettuce anyway.
I know.
My wife, she washes everything less. She puts a little bleach in the water.
Now this I didn't hear about.
Interesting.
Just a little bit of bleach in water.
skilled.
There you go.
She doesn't trust anybody.
Don't trust anyone.
I'm still being tested. We don't know what it is.
Food outbreak of biochemistry lunch.
Yeah, food out. So I
and where,
asked the
where
secretary,
were you at?
I called the secretary right away that everybody's on vacation. They may be back now. She said no one else reported an illness, but I was severely ill. Just recovering.
From a potluck.
So something is going around.
Really?
They
well,
said
yeah.
Norovirus is going around.
Yeah, there's also, yeah, there is viral. Going around. Well, I thought I had a little bit of food poisoning at Thanksgiving, but again, just a little bit. So.
It's a day too much. Yeah.
All right. What? Yeah. Nothing. It's the stuffing. Anyways. Okay. All right. Well, anything else at all?
Nothing else.
Okay. Anything else at all? Okay. So, any comments before we adjourn from our staff? Comments, 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 comments. Nothing? From board members?
Nothing.
Move adjournment.
Move adjournment. And may everyone have a great holiday. The meeting's adjourned.
When's our next?